It is time for us to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Well, good morning, good morning. Well, as I haven't left the house except to go to the grocery store, and that was an emergency, we were going to run out of milk. Oh, let me start by saying you cannot get, and the usual response to that kvetch, that complaint that I had to go out to get, is why don't you get it delivered? Well, I'm in Park Slope in Brooklyn, and there is nobody who is delivering groceries to Park Slope. I have good choices, too. Whole Foods, forget it. They have a post on their website saying, sorry, but we can't deliver anymore. Fresh Direct, which is a delivery service, and which I just rediscovered after 13 years. Did I tell that story? I think I did. I was very happy with Fresh Direct, but... And I was going to order some basic things from Fresh Direct, but I have not been able to get a Fresh Direct delivery in 3 weeks. I'm told that if I get there at noon, they post the next week, really it's 8 days ahead, a schedule, and you can reserve one, a slot. But I have not had that luck. I got there at 10 to 12 the other day. I didn't leave until 20 after 12. And they never posted another day. Sometime after that, they must have. I just can't sit here all day and do that. So I bit the bullet, so to speak, and actually went to the supermarket around the corner, where everybody is very well spaced and everybody is very considerate. And I went with the schmata on my face, which didn't work out too well because it kept slipping and sliding and I could barely breathe, but I did it, at least while I was in the store and closer to people than I was on the street. So it's a whole ritual that we go through now. And I had never spent so much money in the store before, but I didn't care what I was paying as long as I could get it. And what I find is, and I mentioned this last week, the only thing that I really, besides milk, we don't even use that much milk. Maybe we go through a half a gallon in, I don't know, it takes at least a week, probably more like 10 days to go through a half a gallon because we have no kids, and I only put milk in my coffee, and Bob only puts it in his tea, and once in a while I cook with it. So anyway, fruits and vegetables, really hard, and my market had no frozen fruit or vegetables, And they had lots of chicken. People are saying there's no chicken around, but my market had lots of chicken. Anyway, I've been cooking. I think I mentioned this last week that I was trying to use up some things while I'm here. I might as well, like, use up old beans. I haven't gotten around to that yet. But I did use up cornmeal. And it was really good stone ground hoo-ha cornmeal that I certainly didn't want to keep around for too long. It wasn't that old yet because I'd gotten I don't know if you all remember, but I'd gotten a craving for polenta this past winter. So I went out and bought cornmeal. Anyway, or grits. I love grits. Both of them, both polenta and grits, are only just an excuse for butter. So you got to like butter. I'll get to butter in a minute. Anyway, I did make a cornmeal cake. So, you know, without fruit, I need a little sweet. So this cornmeal cake in an 11 by 9 inch Pyrex baking dish has lasted quite a few days. We like it, but it's not so tempting that we have to eat it all. And it's really lasting, and it's holding up very well, too, so I can give that credit, too. Now, the recipe I found on the Internet. I know exactly where in my library to find some cornmeal cake, not bread, cake recipes, but right now those shelves are blocked by cartons of other books. So I went on the Internet, and I found a recipe that had exactly what I wanted, which was only with ingredients I already had in the house. And, by the way, I've been... One of the things I find I have to do is if anybody asks me I need anything, I say, bring a dozen eggs. Not that anybody's asked me. In any case, because I do go through eggs. So this had four eggs. So it's a cornmeal cake, meaning it's meant to be sweet and it's meant to be somewhat light compared to cornmeal bread. And it only called for one cup of cornmeal, and I had like a cup plus a couple tablespoons, so I essentially used up my cornmeal. It was perfect. And a cup of flour, and I have almost used up my flour. I was going to bake bread. Do you know that there's now a whole thing about making bread to relieve stress?
Yes.
I keep reading this online because, of course, if you're kneading, that does relieve stress. In fact, I'm seriously considering making pasta today, which I haven't done in a while, because by hand. Because I think it'll relieve some stress. Plus, I made some ragu, but I'll move on to the ragu in a minute. Let me do this cornbread because it really turned out good, and you might have all the ingredients in the house. And I didn't have enough butter to do any real baking. I didn't have enough of a lot of things to do any real baking. That's why I thought of this cornmeal cake. There must be such a thing, and there was. So this recipe, I changed ever so slightly. I'll do it in the order that it should be done. Let's start with the dry ingredients. I always like to measure and mix and put those aside. And in this case, it's simply a cup of flour and a tablespoon of baking powder. Oh, I also got to use up my baking powder. I have a backup. That I always have a backup for, an open backup. So a tablespoon of baking powder. Then in another bowl, put four egg yolks. Put the four egg whites in another smaller bowl. Yes, you're going to beat them and then fold them in later. But the basic batter is four egg yolks, a half a cup of neutral oil. I use canola oil, but I would think peanut oil or any vegetable oil is fine here. And 1.5 cups of sugar. Sounds like a lot, but in fact, it is not. And the original recipe that I found had even more sugar in it, but I reduced it to 1.5 cups. I would not reduce it much more. It is only a little bit sweet, and I figured out if you cut this 11-by-9-inch cake, flat cake, into 12 pieces, which is 12 generous squares, I got to say, it's only 2 tablespoons of sugar per square. So you beat together the 4 egg yolks, the cup of sugar, a cup and a half of sugar, sorry, and the half cup of oil until it's not only well mixed, but thick, it's a thick and lightened mixture. And to that you add a teaspoon, I used a full teaspoon, of vanilla. Now, I'm playing with the flavors here, and that's all I added. But I'm thinking next time, if I have an orange or a lemon, I will put in the zest, the yellow part or orange part only, into my batter, finely grated. You can use your microplane for that. And it would add a little extra, I think, feature, a little extra dimension. My cornmeal was extremely crunchy cornmeal. And if you use commercial, like Quaker cornmeal, I think you're going to get a more cakey kind of feeling to it. Mine actually did have little, the baked cornmeal cake had a little crunch to it from the corn. I liked it, but not everybody would. So the cornmeal, you bring one cup of milk to, what do we call it? You scald it. That means you heat it up gently until little bubbles form at the edge of the milk. That's scalded. And you dump in one cup of cornmeal and immediately stir very hard. And if it's still very hot, then let it cool a couple minutes before you add it. And I scraped it in with a spatula. Add it to your batter, which is the eggs, the oil, and the sugar. Stir that all together, teaspoon of vanilla, maybe the grated rind of a citrus fruit, and then add your dry ingredients, which are one cup of flour mixed with 1 tablespoon of baking powder. That's it. Buttered pan, 400 degrees, 30 minutes. It'll brown quite a lot on the top. Don't worry about it. Take it out. Let it cool. I have actually found I like this cake a little better after sitting a day. I didn't expect that. I don't know. I haven't tasted it today, but today would be, I don't know, the third day. It was good last night. It was very good last night. And it's, you know, it's a simple cake. It's a plain cake. You could dust it with confectioner's sugar if you really want. I don't, you know, for me it's not necessary. It's sweet enough. And that was one of my little coronavirus cooking days. I hate to laugh about it because it's going to be a horrific week. And at least that's what they tell us. And in preparation for that, I need a super comfort food. And so yesterday, you know, we're all in the house here. I thought, well, you know, this is a good day to make. Well, let me go back to going to my supermarket. So they don't, you know, they have very, very expensive meat that I have not had a huge success with the few times I've bought it. So I bought a pound of ground beef, and I figured, so I'll figure it out later. The worst is we'll have hamburgers, even though I don't love that ground beef. But then I got home, and I decided, you know, tomorrow, meaning yesterday, is a good day for me to do a project. Let me make a real bolognese ragu, which takes me about 5 hours between the mincing of the vegetables, the cooking of the vegetables, the cooking of the meat in, with the vegetables, and then in a real old-fashioned bolognese ragu, you then cook the meat with the vegetables in milk. And you let it simmer slowly until all the milk evaporates, or at least most of the milk evaporates, or nearly. I do it until when you take the spoon and move the meat and vegetables away, there's no puddle with milk in it. It's only fat. When that happens, you then add a cup of white wine and let that cook down to nothing. And only then do you add tomatoes and let them cook for 3 hours. So as I said, all together here, it's a good 5 hours. And whenever I make any kind of ragu, this is not, of course, a Neapolitan-style ragu. This is the real deal from Bologna, Emilia-Romagna, where they cream and butter are like in every dish practically, because it's dairy country. You know, it's where Parmigiano-Reggiano comes from. It's where balsamic vinegar comes from. It's where prosciutto comes from. So these are really great, great products. And the bolognese takes full advantage of, and they also have great pork. Pork is way more important in Bologna and Emilia-Romagna than beef. I make this sauce sort of a la Marcella Hazan, who was from Emilia-Romagna. I say a la because I always thought this about Marcella. She comes up with the weirdest measurements, like a half of a small onion. I can't think of anything where I would want to waste a half of a small onion by not using it in whatever I was cooking. I don't know. I don't think people really cook that way. But Marcella wrote recipes that way. And if you look at her bolognese, her ragu, you'll find that she uses 3/4 of a pound of meat. Now, I don't know. Who buys 3/4 of a pound of meat? So my recipe is for a full pound of meat, and I use a cup and a quarter, a cup to a cup and a half, of finely minced onion. And that is a largish medium onion. If it's a real medium onion, which is defined as a 5 to 6 ounce onion, you'll get 1 cup. So this is a little bit better than a cup. And you saute that in, I use a combination of 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil. In my house, that's canola. And 2 tablespoons of butter. And then you cook that until at least 5 or 6 minutes. And then you add your other two vegetables, carrot and celery, one full cup of minced carrot, which to me is about two medium carrots, and one full cup of minced celery, which is two or three ribs of celery. And you stir that all together. And that has to cook for at least 15, 20 minutes. At the right heat setting, it's 15 to 20 minutes. And you stir it a few times. And after, you know, so this takes a little time. Whenever I make ragu, excuse me, I think of the great Neapolitan cook and cookbook writer, John Carola Francesconi. All my friends know this because I quote her all the time. But she says, when you make a ragu, you have to sit by the pot with a good book, but not such a good book that you forget to stir the pot every 15 minutes. So that's, I was in the kitchen most of the day yesterday stirring the pot, not every 15 minutes, but I'll get to that. So in the beginning, yeah, you want to stir. And every few minutes while the vegetables are cooking. And then when they're just a few of them beginning to get a brown, and the onion will get brown first because you put the onion in first. That was the point, is that you want that onion takes a little longer. You add your 1 pound of ground meat. Could be half pork, half beef. Could be all beef. I used all beef. And you break it up into the pot. By the way, this is, I cook my, well, let's go, the pot should not be too big a pot here because you're only going to end up with 5 or 6 cups of sauce, so just remember that. And the size and shape of your pot determines how the simmer is and da-da-da-da-da, and you have to figure all that out. So you add the meat, break it up into the pot, and then with your wooden spoon, keep stirring it and breaking it up until the meat has lost its raw color. That's a very common instruction in recipes. And then you add one, I use about 1 1/4 cups of whole milk. Stir that in, bring it to a simmer, let it pop, 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 simmer like that. Pop, 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 pop. Until almost all the milk is evaporated, or all the milk is evaporated. And that takes a good 20 minutes to a half an hour at the right pop, 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 pop. Then you add 1 1/4 cups of dry white wine. I now have an open bottle in the fridge that I'm looking forward to later today. And 1 1/4 cups of white wine. And you, again, go pop, 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 pop until all the wine has evaporated. And, again, that takes 20 minutes to a half an hour. And then you add... I add 2 full cups of canned Italian plum tomatoes. I fish the tomatoes out of the can and put them in a measuring cup. And while they're in the measuring cup, with a knife held vertically, I chop up the tomatoes. That's the way. It's a texture I like. If you want to crush them with your hand, go ahead. There's no need to puree them. You can use a potato masher if you like. I do a lot. But in this case, I don't know. I want a chopped tomato, so I just chop, chop, chop. And then while they're in the measuring cup. If, by the way, the amount reduces a little bit, take some of the puree from the can and pour it in. Anyway, put that in with your meat now and vegetables, or cook with milk and then wine. And that, after you stir it in, has to cook for about 3 hours. Not at poop, 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 but at poop, poop. Really, just really at the gentlest possible simmer. Not even a simmer. You just want, you want the bubbles to come to the surface every so often, but not real simmer. I did do that for 3 hours, and I took a nap. I did not follow John Carola's, John Francesconi's advice. I did take a nap, and I did stir a lot at the end. I did have to add some water because, you know, after simmering for an hour or so, it looked like it was getting a little too thick, so I added 2 tablespoons of water. I could have added a little bit more, and maybe I will today when I reheat it. because after all, after 3 hours of poop, 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 or even poop, poop, you do lose a lot of water. And that, so now I have all this nice ragu in the freezer, in the refrigerator, rather. And if there's fat on the top, I will skim it off. Some good fat, and this is part of the charm of the sauce. And that's what I have, which is a good 5 cups of really dense ragu, should be enough to feed, I don't know, could be 8 servings. So that's not bad.
That recipe sounds with your, like my grandmother, with oatmeal. She used to like to cook oatmeal. No, she would say, you know, the oatmeal's done when it goes.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of things.
You reminded me of my grandpa. Aye,
aye, aye. So speaking of Marcella Hazan, and that recipe is based on Marcella. Oh, by the way, of course, you've got to correct the salt and pepper. After an hour of simmering with the tomatoes, you got to taste it and correct salt and pepper, which you will undoubtedly have to do. I always add salt when I'm sauteing the vegetables. By the way, you know, if you go online, you're going to find a lot of variations on what they call a real bolognese. And in some recipes, you're going to find they have pancetta, which is not a bad thing. In some recipes, in there is no milk. In some recipes, instead of you add beef broth. I think Marcella says she thinks that takes it, quote, out of balance, but I don't know about that. You know, home cooks, we all have our opinions about how things go. And but while I was looking at her recipe for the millionth time, I also said, you know, I haven't done this in a long time. Her most famous recipe is a tomato sauce that you do nothing but, literally, pour the tomatoes into a saucepan, chop them up, as I previously described, or mash them up, with an onion, a medium onion, cut in half, and an inordinate amount of butter. I think the recipe calls for 4 or 5 tablespoons of butter and some salt and pepper. And you just put that in a saucepan and let it simmer for 45 minutes. It was good sauce. I'm not saying it wasn't. But it is not my taste anymore. I haven't made this in at least 20 years. But everybody raves about it. What can I say? It's her big recipe. In fact, Scott Conant, the now TV chef, I don't know what restaurants he has, but he's a great chef, a great Italian-American chef, even though his name is Conant. He used to make this in his restaurant, and it was one of the star dishes. I mean, I'm not sure he ever credited Marcella, but I do know the recipe is the same. Anyway, it was good sauce. I now, in my old age here, and cooking Neapolitan or Southern Italian style for the last at least 30, have a taste for tomatoes with olive oil, not tomatoes with butter. And an example is I recently made, I'm sure I talked about this on the radio, I made this Azerbaijani eggplant dish, and it called for clarified butter. So, in fact, I do have a jar of clarified butter in the refrigerator. I should use it up, speaking of using up stuff. That I made just to make this eggplant dish. And, you know, the eggplant dish was delicious. But as soon as I got into it a few bites, I said, you know, I like olive oil with tomatoes. And that's how I felt about Marcella's tomato sauce. But her tomato sauce...
was it sweet?
I must say, I didn't feel like fishing out all the pieces of onion that fell apart into the sauce. I think it's a little issue there. I guess I could have strained it, but I didn't want to waste any sauce. So I avoided the onion as much as I could. I left a few pieces behind, and then I gave up. And I tossed the sauce with 1 pound of cooked spaghetti, and we had wonderful, I must say, with tons of Parmesan on top, we had wonderful spaghetti with tomato sauce. I wasn't going to complain about it.
Was the sauce sweet?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a good sauce, but as I said, I don't think butter and tomatoes for me do it anymore. So, but anyway, I mix it with a whole pound of pasta, which I must say it covered very nicely. Mr. Harned did not complain that there wasn't enough sauce, so I guess it was okay. You know, he likes American style, it's not Italian
gobs of
style.
Sauce.
But, you know, that's a lot of pasta. So half of it, half of it, I saved for yesterday. This was on Saturday. I made the tomato sauce. And we had a spaghetti frittata, which is totally Neapolitan. And I'm sure that any anybody from Emilia Romagna, Romagnoli, as Marcello Hazan was, would look askance at a frittata di spaghetti. But it's very homey Neapolitan food, and I must say it was awfully good. I put grated cheese in, and I also had a tiny piece, not really enough, Gruyere, enough to do anything real with it. So I diced up my little Gruyere, and I put that in there, too. And I must say it was an awfully good frittata. So there you go. I made, with one can of tomatoes, we had two, I must say, overly generous meals. I did not eat all my frittata, although Bob ate my share. But, you know, it was two big meals.
It's funny because when I used to cook for my whole family when they were in, on Sundays I would make a big pot of my own tomato sauce, and we'd have spaghetti and meatballs. But then I would make lasagna, then I'd make chili. Then it would finally go down to be sauce for meatloaf.
Well, I'm down to my last can of my last 28-ounce can of Italian tomatoes, San Marzano tomatoes. That makes me feel insecure. I don't really want to go to the supermarket. They have them. Some places I hear they run out of canned tomatoes. Anyway, I cannot say goodbye until I wish everybody a safe and healthy Passover, which is the first Seder is Wednesday night. And I'm not going to talk too much about, because I don't have time, my probably the most popular recipe I've published, maybe close to it, and it's a Passover apple cake. And just to get the recipe this morning, I went online, I'm thinking, it's in Jewish Home Cooking. So, and the story about it, I think, is in Jewish Home Cooking, too, but I found it this morning. I didn't even know this existed. This is a blog post written on April 22nd, 2016, on a website called Unwritten Recipes, and it's a series of beautiful pictures of this apple cake, and even how to do it, or how it looks when you're doing it. I'm impressed, and it also lauds me, which I think is nice. It's a nice present. Arthur Schwartz's Passover apple cake. So if you Google Arthur Schwartz's Passover apple cake, you'll get this recipe. And everybody I know, my family and friends, make this for Passover. It's made best made a day ahead. Now, we're not going to be hosting a lot of people for Passover this year, I hope, because we should stay home. Yeah. But it will feed you at least for several days. Mm-hmm. This is an 8-inch square pan and because it's so moist with apples, keep it until it gets moldy, but we'll eat it up before then.
Okay. Hey, all right, have a safe...
All right, have a happy week, or at least let's say this, we can't have a happy week.
Have a safe week.
Have a healthy week.
A healthy, safe week with and if you're with family, enjoy.
Well...
Really?
I don't know.
Try.
Well, it depends on, you know, if your immediate family is great, but don't go visit me.
No. That's right.
I think we're going to do we're not going to do a whole virtual Seder, but we're going to do at least up to the four questions, which I do believe my niece Sydney knows. So we'll do at least that much together. Brian, my nephew, will set up the computer at one end of the table, and with Bob and me on the screen. and his family will be in real life, and we'll do it on Skype.
All right. Well, then have a good time.
Talk
and
to you soon.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Of course, you can find Arthur online with us, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.